So I'm at the farmer's market in Davis, and it lives up to its reputation. Who are you guys?
Well, we're Banjo Fiddle, and I'm Julie Cooper. I play fiddle.
I'm Mark Pete, banjo.
And I'm Mark Goodwin, a guest today, and I play guitar.
Everyone's here to buy fresh produce and have a healthy diet, and everyone's in a good mood.
Yeah, that's great. They hang around and you contribute to it. Well, I'll let you contribute to it now. Just go ahead and play something.
Sounds good. All
right.
Thank you. Let's play Pretty Little Girl, Don't Wanna Milk a Cow in G. Thank you.
I'm at one of my favorite places now, another farmer's market, but not just another one, but one that's really respected all over the nation, and one of the very first ones. And actually, I have the farmer's market manager with me today, who was one of the first ones, too, that was establishing this, and I want to welcome Randy McNear, who's the executive director of the Davis Farmer's Market. Randy, you're a lucky person, I think. You get to... I know there's a lot of work involved in being the farmer's market manager, but what a great place and what a great market you've been involved with.
Well, I actually do consider myself very lucky, and I'm humbled to wake up every morning, really, to do this work. I mean, when I went to college, I didn't know what I wanted to be or do in my life, and I came out here and ran into the three families that started this market, and over a long story, which is too long for this podcast, became the manager and have been here ever since. I only left for 4 years, from 1981 to 1984, to have two children. And then I was walking through the market with my kids, and the same family farm was here and said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Going crazy at home with my children." And they said, "Why don't you come back to work for us?" And so I was have been here a total of 38 years.
Wow. Well, that's exciting. Well, we're going to talk about that and what you've seen over those years. But I'm thinking back, though, when you were getting started, for people that aren't aware of Davis, it's where UC Davis is, which is generally recognized as the number one ag school in the world. Although there's somebody in the Netherlands that kind of goes back and forth, and in the United States, Purdue argues with them, and Cornell and some others. But a lot of people recognize UC Davis as top of the world. But you're in this incredible Mediterranean climate, and you've got these progressive farmers around here that were doing direct and local and organic long before it was fashionable. Apparently the three families that cornered you were in that category, kind of pioneers.
Yes. You know, and the best thing about it is that those three families are here, and they're moving on to second and third generations coming in to continue them being here at the market. Yeah, they were the pioneering organic farmers in the Cape Ay Valley, and one of them in Winters, the three small family farms that started this market. We also, the link between Davis and the California Department of Food and Agriculture was Les Portello, who is an almond grower.
Mm-hmm.
And he,
I told you I used to manage an almond board.
Yes, and he was became the program director for the California Department of Food and Agriculture to help establish the Certified Farmers Market program in California, of which Davis was one of the first four farmers markets certified in the state of California under that program. And now we have there, California is still the only state that has legislation that enforces and operate, you know, how you operate your farmer's market under those regulations.
Well, that's kind of surprising. I would assume that more are looking at it. And also, I mean, what guidance is there on how to be a farmer's market manager? I mean, I would imagine when you started with three families, it was a lot easier than it is to now. But How many tents or how many tables, booths, whatever, are there in the
market? Well, we could have an unlimited amount. I mean, every day, that's the worst part of my job, is turning away people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We do try to get new Yolo County farmers into the market in their county of production whenever we can. But I started with three farmers with their produce on the floor, which they're not allowed to do anymore. And really, you know, it really is just day by day. It really is day by day how you build a market. The reason we are so successful is that the values of the market match the values of the community. Plus, we have developed relationships and collaborations with the city and the UC Davis and the business community and the school district. We have programs that outreach into all of that. So we just are a real part of the community.
You know, and I'm looking out here across the community that are walking down and trying out the peaches and picking out an heirloom or tomato or two, as I did. And one thing I notice, it's pretty young. I mean, there's a lot of these people. You talk about how far back you go. You know, I hate to say this, but a lot of these folks weren't born when this was getting started. And so this is one of those generational things that it's really staying with a fairly skewed, fairly young crowd here.
Yes, you are. That is a really good observation. Every age and walk of life and profession is here. You know, the market is a place where everybody is equal. And mm-hmm. people come, and it doesn't matter how much money you make or don't make. It doesn't matter where you live or don't live. You know, everybody is here supporting local farmers and being outside in the community and visiting and having their children play on the playground. Many, many people whose parents grew up in Davis, the kids are now, they write to us that they're moving back to Davis because they grew up coming to the market with their parents and they want their children to come to the market with them.
My daughter worked up in here for a little while after college and now she lives in Cincinnati, but the Davis market had such an impression on her that she's now making sure she's going all to the markets in Cincinnati.
And well, that's how you do it. If you do it right, people become infatuated and in love with the market, and they miss it if they have to leave it or they have moved away and they search for it. That means we've done our job correctly.
So as we talk, here comes somebody by us that's been nibbling, and this, what do you think, three?
Yes.
3 years old. Hi. How do you like the market? Oh, I see that. Yeah.
The farmers really engage with the children. We also are very involved with Davis Farm School and the school children program, bringing them to the market, going out onto the farms, bringing produce into the classrooms for them to taste. And the children, I mean, you know, to see a strawberry smushed all over some little child's face, the parents happy, we're happy, the farmer's happy. I mean, that's gold.
You know, and I'm watching, like, these little kids that come up and get around the banjo and the fiddle over here, and there's a guitar playing now, too. And they just start dancing. They just start, like, have happy feet, like Steve Martin used to say. And then, you know, bouncing all over the place.
It's so true. You know, people, the adults dance like that also, I promise you. This market allows people to be human again. Mm-hmm. It nourishes them. It allows them to be outside, to see all the beautiful one-word foods, you know, as Mike Apollon would say, to smell them. I mean, you know, when you walk in and nobody else is here and it's strawberry season, you can just smell those strawberries. And it just nourishes your soul. And, you know, whether you know it or not, you want to come back and do that again.
Well, I have to admit, I'm one of those people that, in addition to loving all of that, I really like the food.
Yes.
And the food tents. I just had an avocado toast this morning that was bee's knees or something like that. It had honey and seeds and nuts on it, and I had to put an egg on top of it, and it was wonderful. And there's really some unique tents, so I like the way they put foods together, too.
Well, we work very hard on that. One of our, you know, on our wish list, the top of our wish list is that all of the food vendors are sourcing and cooking from the market. Well, that's the only ones that we let in now. The avocado toast is a relatively new food booth that we let in because the bread is from the market, the eggs are from the market, the honey is from the market, the figs, the cheese, the avocados. So that's what we're trying to do, is to get people to taste what is here at the market and to just want that.
You know, one thing I've noticed when I've gone to markets around the country, it seems like the philosophy of that board and the manager really have a big effect on the mix in the marketplace. And some of them kind of feel like they're trying to be more of a supermarket, I feel, like it's just like, go down and get all the produce, get in your car and leave. And others make it a point to have a hangout space and have more music and have food that's prepared. And, you know, there's no guidelines that somebody has to say, okay, this is the way I'm going to do it. You've obviously, when the people yourself and your other leadership you've involved in this market have decided that you are going to make this a community square, that it's not just come and get your peaches and go home, but it's that whole atmosphere, the kind of a hangout for the community.
Yes, we do believe in that, and actually our city is a great partner in helping us. They built this beautiful structure in this park, and so they are also want us to create a community marketplace for them. But we have boundaries. We really want it to be a farmer's market first and foremost. I mean, you could have a marketplace like you're talking about with 150 different food booths. That's not what we want to do. We want there to be the majority of the booths that are here, the stalls, to be farmers, and for you to know that when you walk into this space, no matter where it is, that it is farmer-centric. That is really important philosophy of the board and of the city.
Yeah, and we should describe a facility that they built for you. How do you describe this? You've got a roof over much of it.
Yes, we're very, very lucky. We're in the middle of a two-block park, which actually they transformed from one block size park to two blocks. We have a beautiful pavilion, open air pavilion that has electricity and water and allows the vendors to park underneath. It shades us from the rain and the sun. So it really fosters people coming here year round instead of what people typically think of as a farmer's market for just the summertime.
You have some tents that are extending on both ends so they're not all under the frame. And like you said, it does get hot here, and so when that sun gets up over 100 sometimes, I'm sure they really would welcome that shade. And although we don't get snow or ice, rains a lot, right?
It does rain.
December, January or so, or fog. Mm-hmm. And you are open every week?
We are open year-round every Saturday from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. year-round, 52. You know, unless Christmas or New Year's falls on a Saturday, we're open. I think that when those heavy smokes, you know, when you couldn't even see, we did close once because the air quality was, but other than that, we are open. And some of the vendors, when it rains, don't come, but most of them do, and we try and just squish as many people as we can under the overhang, actually, mm-hmm. when it is raining.
Now, I was saying that this is a pretty young-seeming crowd here, but there's people of all ages, lots of little kids. I'm sure there's students here from UC Davis. But the other thing that's available in the markets now are that people can take advantage of the SNAP program. And I don't think of Davis of necessarily having people that are in need of food assistance. But I suppose that is used at this market as well, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely, and it's increasing. And actually, the Yolo Food Bank has played a major role in doing a needs assessment and a community assessment of just how many people are in need. And if you can imagine, 25% of people in Davis are food insecure and are going hungry. And a lot of them are students. So we work very hard to let people know that they can use their CalFresh cards here. We also have the Market Match where they get free fruit and vegetable incentive coupons when they use their CalFresh cards here. So it's a great program, and it is actually really increasing in the number of people that are coming and taking advantage of it. So we're happy to be able to provide that extra access for them.
So you come in all kinds of folks, all kinds of people in ages and need that are here, because that had been a criticism of early years of farmers markets, that they said, oh, well, you know, you're pulling up in, you know, your big Mercedes, and it's all rich people. And it's not at all, I mean, when you get the program like this.
No, and if you look, there's now over 850 farmers markets in California, and many, many, many of them are actually been created as a food security tool and mechanism in neighborhoods. Oak Park in Sacramento, mm-hmm. I mean, all up and down California, it's one of the most, the best use of a farmer's market actually lately is to provide that.
You know, And the idea of the public square for a community, I think of you out at kind of at the end of it all. You have places where people can have political tents and issues and so forth. How do you decide to kind of make that space available, and how do you try to limit or you know, what's going to be in that area that are putting out different causes to sign up for or politicians to support and so forth?
Right. In Davis, that area is very, very active year-round, especially during campaign season. But the city actually had to step in that area and create a free speech ordinance to actually create a system of how we operated down there. So you have to be a nonprofit and provide us with nonprofit status. You have to either be enrolled as an initiative or a political candidate. And it's first come, first served, but there are very strict guidelines as to its time, place, and manner. And all of that, actually, the city and the city attorney had to step in to create a system for us that was manageable. Otherwise, it can be very unmanageable and very cumbersome on a market.
So what a dynamic. I mean, when you're describing all of this and meeting all the different needs, all the people, the community, the space you've given and so forth, I mean, it must be gratifying to have been here at the beginning and see where it is today. And I'm curious, after the years you've had into this and really pioneered so much of it, what do you find to get excited about in the future?
Well, we really like to encourage people to come year-round. That's one of our goals, is to keep the market open year-round and vibrant, which it is. We are here in Davis. We want people to spend more at the market, and that's why we have ATMs at the market that we own and that disperse cash to people, because people don't know how much money they spend on fruits and vegetables. They go in the grocery store and it's all in one bill.
Sure.
And they probably think they spend $5 or $10 when really they've spent much more money. Mm-hmm. So that has really helped a lot. We would like to see the food area be exclusively what they call farm fresh food vendors, where they're making and sourcing food from the farmers, so that, you know, just like what's big in Sacramento with all the Farm Fresh Friday and all of that. And I think just to keep everybody coming to the market, you know, you still have to work on that. We're working with some hospitals. We're working to improve Davis Farm to School so that more of the local produce goes into the school lunches in the school district. We work with UC Davis. We have a market on campus at UC Davis. We have two satellite markets at the hospitals here in Davis. So we're just trying to get people to eat California fruits and vegetables. You know, we want them to eat them wherever they can get them, you know.
Well, you know, I wondered whether you played any role in encouraging the people that are running this market how to train the people working at their booths, because I just noticed at all the places I stopped and tried sample, and I sample a lot, they were especially helpful. You know, some places it's it maybe not so much, but I just noticed this market, there's people that I let them pick out my peaches.
Correct.
And kind of like talk about them and tell me don't eat them when you go home, put it on the counter, you know, things like that. And
well,
I was impressed.
I like to describe that our vendors are the cream of the crop. You know, it's very hard to get into the Davis market, and once you get here, you don't want to leave, because we have 5,000 to 7,000 customers every single Saturday that come through here. So they are, the expectation from us to them is that they provide exemplary customer service, that they want to be here, that they're pleasant, that they engage with the customers, and when that's not happening, we bring that to their attention.
Well, you know what? We have a lot of listeners on Farm to Table Talk, and quite a few of them probably come here already, but they're from all over, and I bet some are listening to this today. They're going to make it a point to come to the farmer's market.
We hope so.
In Davis, and they shouldn't miss it. And I think just one final thing I was thinking about, and that is, if somebody is listening in areas that don't have farmer's markets, what advice to them? I mean, if they feel like, you know, I'm out in this area and I really wish we could get a farmer's market started, what do you do? When somebody comes to you and say, I think we'd like to get one started, what do you tell them?
Right. Well, it's a long conversation.
Oh, okay.
It's always
okay.
Not a short one. But we do have resources online, actually, that that I help write some manuals of how to start a farmer's market.
Okay.
And how to manage a farmer's market. And we did them in cooperation with the Small Farm Center at UC Davis. So there's also a Farmers Market Coalition national farmers market organization that has a lot of resources. Mm-hmm. There are people that are consultants. You know, we talk to people. People come visit. So, and we walk them around. And I think that the biggest challenge is that people will come to a market like Davis and say, I want a market just like this. But you have to understand that we've been here 43 years, and the market has grown over 43 years. And so it just doesn't happen instantly. It is day by day, and it's relationship to relationship, and it's partnership to partnership, you know, and getting good vendors and working with the vendors and being able to say yes and being able to say no.
Well, you've had a long day, and you're just in the middle of a Saturday.
Yes.
And I would imagine that that when you're having the day, after the market closes, does it take you quite a while before you can actually just go home and put your feet up, or is it? Is there?
We're here from 4 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon.
That's
on
a long day.
It's a long day. I have an excellent crew right now. I have really great people, which is very helpful.
And as you go through the week, are you getting called by vendors and other people?
We run 5 markets a week during time of the year. We have one at Sutter Davis Hospital. We have a Wednesday picnic in the park. This lawn looks like Woodstock. It's completely full of people. We have a band and restaurants. We have a market now at the Sutter Sacramento Medical Center, and we have one on campus. So
I tell you, you should be proud, and I think the people here in the Davis community are really lucky to have had you take this leadership role, and people around the country and people listening to this that now see that they got farmers markets, and many of them have learned lessons from what you guys have done, and also your contribution to some of the guidelines.
Yes.
So, Randy, you should feel good about that.
Oh, thank you. I do. I wake up every morning and I want to come to work. I never imagined. I'm so lucky to have that experience. There's nothing better than a farmer. And I realize I'm in love with farmers. And I realize that my great-great-grandfather was an apple farmer in the Ukraine in Russia.
Ah.
And so I must have farming in my blood, because
I
get enough of them.
I have farming in my blood, too. I'm not out there farming, but I can't get away from them. They're great people. Hey, thank you so much. I'm talking to Randy McNear, and the executive director of the world-famous Farmers Market in Davis, California. Thanks for being on Farm to Table Talk.
Thank you for... Thank you.
Hey.